morning in the Old Testament, and I like to preach from the Old Testament. I did that this past week when we were up in Connecticut. I like to preach from the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the people of God, whenever God was blessing his people of Israel, he would send rain in season so that their ground would bring forth fruits, vegetables, harvest times would be plentiful. The grass would grow and flourish because of the rain, and the cattle would have grass to eat, and that prospered the whole economy so that the economy was burgeoning and it was prospering. But if the Lord wanted to get the attention of his people and chasten his people, he would curse the ground so that it wouldn't bring forth rain, that the rain wouldn't fall in season. And when that happened, the crops didn't grow, the grass didn't grow, the cattle would die, people would die of famine. He simply withheld the rain from heaven, and that led everything to stop production, and production would just go to nothing, and then there would be death and dying all around. Now, today, you're living in the New Testament. This church is a New Testament, Independent Fundamental Baptist, New Testament local church. And you're living in that time, but you can apply, get this, the Old Testament blessing of sending rain from heaven for the crop production. You can apply that where they would have that blessing on their promised land. You can apply that to the blessing of the Holy Spirit of Christ, sent by God from heaven to produce the fruit of new disciples through the gospel that we preach, the fruit of the Spirit to change lives around us. And this is the work of God. And yet so often we lack that, like we want to see it and like we need to see it in these days. We have a better covenant. We have a better testament, but we lack this blessing of God like we want to see it. And so our theme for this year, you know, is partnering with plenty in 2020. But what we want to talk about today in this message is what I believe in your life and in our church and in your family are precursors to this plenty that we're talking about, to these blessings of God that we're talking about. They're precursors that must come into your life. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, that there are many promises in the Word of God, in the New Testament, that for you to claim those promises, you have to claim the prerequisite. You have to practice the prerequisite to cash in on the promise of God. And so today, God wants to bless us. I like what Brother Joe likes to say. God wants to bless you. Give me a reason, God says, to bless you. You ever heard Brother Joe say that? Give me a reason to bless you. And you know what? I want to give God a reason to bless me. Amen? I want to give God a reason to bless our church. I want to give God a reason to bless us. And of course, it's through Jesus Christ that you get all of these New Testament blessings. But Jesus Christ provides a prerequisite in your life in order for you to get further blessing. And that's what we want to talk about. The prerequisites of your plenty, if you will. The precursors, if you will, of your plenty in 2020. And I don't want you to miss it today. And so take your Bible and look with me at 1 Kings chapter 18 as we look at this prerequisite of your plenty or precursors of your plenty in 2020. I want you to first of all see chapter 18 and look with me at verses 1 and 2. It says there, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Now listen to me, this was the northern kingdom of Israel. And this was a time for 3 years, not of blessing, beloved, but of no production, no food, no grass, no crops, animals dying, people dying, famine, hard time. And it was a bad time, and it was now the third year of this famine. And it was a tough time for the people of God, and they were suffering. And it was a tough time politically because, you see, if you were a preacher and if you were a prophet of the Lord, you were killed by Jezebel because she was the queen. Ahab was the king. Not a good time to be a servant of God. Amen. Not a good time. And they were being arrested. They were being killed. And one of the prophets of God worked for the king. He didn't even know it. He was keeping other prophets in caves, feeding them with bread and water just to keep them alive. His name was Obadiah. It was a rough time. And I'm saying to you that sometimes in our lives, we go through rough times. You see, the Bible says that the man of God here had been hiding himself from the king. He'd been hiding himself from the people of God. He wasn't showing himself. You say, why wasn't he showing himself? He wasn't showing himself because they weren't seeking God. Did you hear me, friends? They weren't seeking the Lord. They weren't seeking his blessing. They weren't seeking God. The Bible says, Hebrews 11, God blesses those that come to him in faith. And the Bible says, if you come to him in faith through Jesus Christ, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But they weren't doing that. What were they seeking? They were seeking Baal worship, the idol Baal, who Jezebel was promulgating to the people as the great God, and he would give you production. By the way, that's what Baal was supposed to give you, is crops, amen. Baal was supposed to give you cattle, and the economy would soar. Isn't it interesting that our economy is soaring, and these wicked people want to try to get rid of and impeach a man that is responsible for policies that are helping the economy succeed. Listen, the devil hasn't changed a bit, has he? He wants to steal from you. Listen to me. He's a thief. That's Satan. He's a murderer. That's Satan. And he's a liar. That's Satan. But you come to the Word of God, you're going to get the truth. But the man of God was hiding, and the Word of God was withdrawn back. Why? Because the people were listening to the lies of the prophets of Baal. They were listening to the lies of the prophets of Baal. Get that mainstream media and turn it off and turn on the Word of God here and the God of the Word. And so they were listening to the lies of the prophets of Baal, and so the man of God hid himself. And guess what? Baal was supposed to bring prosperity. What was happening to the economy? It was going down, down, down into the dumps. I know Christians that they get their paycheck every week. And if they give anything, they give a few dollars to the Lord. They don't give 10% of everything off the top. But then when they get in trouble, oh, God, help me with my physical health. Help me with my finances. Oh, God hid himself. You say, will God hide himself from me? He will. He will if you're not paying attention to him. Not paying attention to the preacher. Who's preaching the Word of God? That's important. It's important. And these people, they weren't paying attention. And so God just said to the prophet, to the preacher, hey, hide yourself. Don't be there. Don't be there. So the people can get the Word of the living God. And so that's what happened. And we're living in the New Testament dispensation. And this happens, it says in James, he says in James, ye lust and have not, James 4, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. It says ye fight and war, yet what? Ye have not because ye ask not. And then he says ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may what? Consume it on your own lust. He says ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with Almighty God? He says, you're playing with the world. And he says, you're playing with the world and you're expecting the blessing of God. He says, but you're not going to get the blessing of God. And listen, he was getting their attention by drying up their crops. And he gets your attention today by drying up your blessings so that you'll return to the blesser. In fact, the Bible says in James 4, 6, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen God afflicting you with a spiritual famine of sorts? I thought about a verse last night. I guess I got it in my sleep, and I put it in this sermon. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Did you hear that? I believe a child of God, when you're blessed of God and God's showing his love to you, he will curse your fig tree if you rob from him the tithe and offering. He'll curse your fig tree if you replace love for his word, love for his work with some other idol, some other love in your life that leads you away into immorality, that leads you away into drinking, that leads you away into playing around with sin, my friend, that leads you away into gathering with proud people that criticize the man of God and the work of God. It's just a bunch of baloney. You expect the blessing of God and to have that at the same time? It won't happen. I'm telling you, it won't happen. I guarantee it to you. And God is a God of love. He's a God of grace. And so the psalmist said it, and it's true. Before I was afflicted, he said, I went astray. I used to have a little dog. I've told you about him. He used to go astray. He was a pug. Pugs do that. They just run. He would always run. I would go after him. I'd find him. I'd have to pay money to get him out of the dog pound, Brother Eddie. I'd pay $25 to get that dog back. He wasn't worth it. He'd be in there shaking. But I loved him, man. I would get him out. I would keep getting him out. And finally, one day, he went away and got hit, and that was it. I had to bury him. But you know what that dog's a picture of in your life and in my life? We go away from God, don't we? Don't we go away from the shepherd? Don't we get distracted? Don't we get out with other gods when the Bible says in the New Testament, keep yourself from idols. What's an idol? Anything that draws your heart away from God. You cannot have God and have idols at the same time. Idolatry is the hub sin from which all the spokes come out of sin in your life. Idolatry, check it out, Romans chapter 1, is anything you put in the place of or above God. It could even be a good thing, but you put it in place of or above God. And it, listen to me, it cuts your heart from loving God, and it cuts you from doing the will of God, and you're being robbed. And so what does God do with a child of God? Because he loves that child of God, he will afflict you with famine. He'll bring down upon you these things to get your attention. So you'll come back to him. So I'm saying to you, a precursor of plenty in your life is your preacher shows up with the word of God for the famine in your life. Notice again in verses 1 and 2, the preacher showing up, 1 Kings 18, it says there, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And Elijah, he told him, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain. In other words, what is a precursor for God sending rain? What is a precursor for God sending productivity in your life? What is a precursor for God sending blessing in your life? It's that the word of God comes home to you again. God is letting you hear the word of God again. Not just with your physical ears, but you're hearing it. You that are sitting out there and you're distracted by your cell phones and by whatever else you're distracted by, I feel for you, because the greatest need we have is to hunger. I've dealt with cancer victims, and the thing that used to bother me, I remember Mr. Clyde Radford had cancer years ago in the early days of this church, and I went to visit him at Geisinger, and he was dying of cancer. And I went to visit him, and I said, eat, Clyde, just eat. And they tried to give him a grape, and he spit it out. He couldn't even eat a grape. Thank God if you have an appetite, amen? Boy, that's a good thing. On the way home from Connecticut, I told my wife, I just feel like eating an Impossible Burger. I haven't had an Impossible Burger. It's a little bit of a cheat for me, but I said, I got to have an Impossible Burger. And I had some onion rings and a Impossible Burger. Boy, that tasted good. To me. To me. My wife had two Whoppers, but... But it's only because I forced that second Whopper on. I said, you got to eat that. I can't eat it. But I'm just saying to you, it's a blessing, and she earned it, man. It's a blessing to have an appetite. Amen? And all I'm saying to you is that a precursor that God is getting ready to bless you with plenteous rain is your preacher shows up with the word of God for the famine in your life. Secondly, your preacher pinpoints the problem in your life. Did you hear me? The preacher has grace from God to pinpoint the problem in your life. Can I say something to you? When I go to preach and I travel to preach, I pray for each point of my message that it would hit somebody right between the eyes to help them get right with God and get what God wants them to get from that message. I pray the same for you this morning, each point. I'm saying not only does the preacher show up with the word of God for your life, but the preacher pinpoints the problem in your life. People have come to our church and they've said, hey, who does the pastor have spying on me? Who does he have watching me? How did he know what was going on? Now, sometimes preachers talk with one another. I talked with my former youth pastor for 15 years. He's been 18 years pastoring, and he just wanted to talk to me about problems in his church that he's dealt with. Preachers do that. And we talked about it, and it was good. And I said, I'm glad I didn't know about any of these problems before I preached last night. But he said, did you hear me say pull over there and park for a while, Pastor? I said, no, I didn't hear you say that. He said, you didn't park too long, but you did something that was, and something else. And I said, well, I pray for that. I pray for that. I believe the Holy Spirit is my spy. He's everywhere. And if you're a born-again Christian, he's in your heart. And he's following you. And why? Because he wants to bring plenty in your life, but he can't do it if you don't get the prerequisite of the man of God, the preacher, showing up with the word of God. And if you don't get the prerequisite of the preacher pinpointing the problem in your life. You say, Pastor, where's that in 1 Kings 18? I'm glad you asked. Go to verses 17 and 18, and I'll read it. Verses 17 and 18, it says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. I call that pinpointing the problem. I remember Jack Howells one time, he was invited to preach at a Southern Baptist college that he had gone to. Southern Baptists are more liberal than independent fundamental Baptists. And Brother Howell said, what's the catch? Why are you inviting me to come and preach at your college? And the man said, Brother Howell, you can preach against sin. He said, just don't pinpoint the sin. Don't name it. Don't talk about if you drink alcohol, you're in sin. By the way, if you drink alcohol, you're in sin. Don't name it. And Brother Howell said, no, I'm not going to preach then, because I'm not going to preach for you, because I'm gonna name it. And I'm going to say what God wants me to say. And I'm gonna pinpoint the problem. We've got a coup going on in the United States of America. I just pinpointed the problem.
It's a coup.
Now listen to me. The devil is always trying to pull something in your life and in your church. And he's always sliding in there to get you away from the man of God and away from the church of God. And listen to me, I don't care if it's your mother that's pulling you away. Then you do what one king of Israel did and get rid of your mother off the throne. In other words, I'm not saying get rid of your mother, but I'm saying don't listen to your mother if she's telling you don't go to church on a Sunday night. Oh, stay back and do something with my family on a Wednesday. Or no. No, you come along or your family come along to church. Oop, stepping on some toes, amen, on a Sunday morning. But I want to tell you, listen to me, God wants you to go to that next level. And if you're a man, you're supposed to be a man and you're supposed to lead your wife, not be led by anybody or anything. You say, why are you picking on women, preachers? Well, I'm not disrespecting women. My mother's a woman. I love her. I just talked to her. My wife's a woman. I love her. She helps me all the time. But women can be influential. And if they're good women, they're great influences. But if they're bad women like Jezebel, they'll make a man 10 times worse. I believe Hillary Clinton made Bill Clinton worse than he would have been. You say, Pastor, I don't believe in mentioning names like that. Well, don't ever do it when you preach then. I'm saying to you that this man of God pinpointed the problem, and he told Ahab the problem, and he told him it was Baal worship, and Ahab knew, and Elijah knew. It was his wife that he married that led him into that Baal worship, and he followed her. Why don't you follow God? The precursors of plenty in your life, your preacher shows up with the Word of God. And if you're in a church where there's a famine of hearing the Word of God, by the way, if they don't have the King James Bible right there, that's a problem. But if they have the King James Bible, they better be preaching the Word of God and showing up with the Word of God. And then number two, they better be able, by the grace of God, to pinpoint the problem. Say, how are they going to do that? The Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't have to be a mind reader. The Word of God does spiritual surgery in our hearts. I just am saying, listen to me, God wants to bless you. Listen, God wants to bless you, but he won't bless you without these prerequisites. God follows a pattern. And here you see that pattern being followed, and the preacher pinpoints the problem into your life. And let me say to you today, if you're into idolatry, that's a problem. What is it that keeps you from enjoying this book, that keeps you from loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? What is it that's given you a divided heart? What is it, my friend? It will not satisfy you. Only the God of the Bible will satisfy you. You have a God-shaped vacuum inside of you. A woman can't do it. Nothing can do it. Only God can do it. And God's a jealous God. Amen? If I go down here to Dunkin' Donuts, before my wife made me a delicious meal, no doubt. I don't know what it is, but she made it. It's going to be good. But if I go down here to Dunkin' Donuts and get a bunch of donuts and coffee, and I flirt with a waitress and wink at her and be flirting with her, eat those donuts, and then go home, and I'm not hungry for food, and my wife's going to figure it all out. And I'll tell you what, that food's going to be over my head, running down my face. She's not going to put up with that. By the way, if any of you guys are flirting on your wives, they're not going to put up with it, neither is God. Amen? You don't two-time God. You say, where's that in the Bible? James chapter 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? He will not put up with it. We wanna get the blessing of God on Sunday, and all through the week we want a world. We want a frosting with a Christian frosting on it, but we want a worldly cake throughout the week. God doesn't work that way. It's all or nothing. A perfect heart needs a whole heart. That's what God's looking for. It's a prerequisite to plenty. I'm saying to you that it's a man of God, a preacher showing up with the word of God for the famine in your life. It's a preacher pinpointing the problem in your life. And what's that problem? It's whatever's dividing your heart. It's whatever's holding you back. Is there a time in your life when Jesus Christ was more precious to you and more wonderful to you and the first love of your life? Was there a time in your life you can look back to and now you say, I'm not there? Well, what is it that's keeping you from that? Pinpoint it. That's what I'm talking about. I've had God pinpoint things in my life that must go for him to come. You see? They must go if he is going to come. Jesus Christ will brook no rivals. Amen? He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He must be number one in your heart, teenager, and in your life. And you say, what is it that's keeping him from being number one in my life? It's whatever you're thinking about right now. Could it be a sport? Yeah, it could be. Our first pastor gave up basketball because it stood in the way of the Lord. I've had others give up their school and go to a Christian school because that was keeping them. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, I'm saying he pinpoints it. Number three, precursor of plenty in your life. Your preacher confronts you with a clear choice about what to do about your problem. The preacher confronts you with a clear choice. Just look down at verse 21, one verse. It says, and Elijah, now he just talked to the king, pinpointed the problem. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. I've preached on things and people just answer me, not a word. I preached on tithing and people just go. You know what that means when they go like this? You got me. I'm like a deer caught in the headlights. But that's all it goes. You pinpointed the problem, preacher. Well, that's great. If I pinpoint you got cancer and I say you got to take this kidney out, it's filled with cancer, then you got a choice. Do I do the surgery or leave the cancer in there? You've got a choice. He pinpointed the problem. It was Baal worship. Jezebel had led Ahab into it. The country was into it. And they had a clear choice to make. The truth was out there. Thank God they had the truth. But let me tell you, you can have the truth and just still dig in your heels and not repent. The Bible says you've left your first love. What does it say? Remember, then what? Repent. And sometimes people say, I need help to repent. And that's true. Because you get dug into sin, you're in the snare of the devil. Sin will, as I said Friday night, it'll take you lower than you want to go. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. These people were hooked up. But God wanted to give them plenty. I believe God wants to give Scranton Revival Baptist Church plenty. I believe he wants to give the pastor and his wife plenty. I believe he wants to give the youth pastor and his wife plenty. I believe he wants to give the deacons and their wives plenty. But listen to me. Listen to me. We can't live today on yesterday's blessings. We've got to walk with God today. We've got to be forever young. We've got to walk with God now. We've got to have a whole heart for God now and walk with God. As I told the people up in Connecticut, I said, I read about D.L. Moody. Every day, D.L. Moody made a commitment to lead somebody to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I said, if I ever get away from serving you with my whole heart every day, take me out. That was when I was young. When I was older, I said, Lord, have mercy. Help me to get right. Help me. But whichever it is, you're wasting years. Some people, you waste years. Other people, you can waste decades with second deaths. It'll keep you from the prerequisite of plenty. Your preacher shows up with a word, pinpoints the problem, but then you've got a decision to make, a clear choice to make in your life. And until that repentance is done, and until you do the works meet for repentance or the works that go along with repentance, my friend, the blessing will not come. Because God is holy and God is righteous and just, and he's not going to change his character for you or I. Now, my brother, for you teenagers, my brother was in high school. He went to Ottawa Hills High School. I went to a Class B public school at that time. He was in a Class A. He was younger than me, but he went to Ottawa Hills, big high school. Somehow, my brother became popular in that high school. He became very popular in that high school. It was a racially mixed high school. He was popular with the black kids, the white kids. He was popular with everybody. And he'd be invited to their parties. And my brother, you know, came from a Christian home and a Christian background, but he wasn't really born again at that point. He would go to the parties, but he would say, I won't drink alcohol. I'll just go to the parties. But you see, he was playing games. And he knew that if he really got saved, if he really accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, his personal Savior, like I believe some of you teenagers may need, or some of you adults may need even, he knew that if he did that, his life would change and that he would have to say no to those parties and he'd have to follow the Lord. And with that choice, he decided not to get saved, amen, until finally he went to camp and got saved at a Baptist camp up in Michigan. I believe there could be some of you today that are here, and Jesus has been knocking on the door of your heart. The preacher's been pinpointing the problems. You've been confronted with the clear choice. But now it's for you to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, knowing that he's going to come in, wash your sins away, and make the changes in your life that happen to a Christian. And so these people were being confronted with that clear choice. So are you being confronted. And some of you, you are being confronted with a clear choice about a pet sin in your life. Did you hear me? I'm talking about born-again Christians now. You got a pet sin in your life. You got something you don't want to give up. Might even be your ease and your comfort you don't want to give it up. I don't know what it is. But there's a guy in Florida. He had a pond behind his house, Luke. And he would go out with steaks and he would feed this little alligator that was out there. Because the alligators, they like meat. Don't they, Ben? Yeah. And they like meat. And he was feeding them the meat from the, you know. And the alligator, he'd eat it with his little mouth, and he kept feeding them, and then he wanted bigger, like whole steaks he would have to throw to him. And he'd eat that, and the alligator started growing. Pretty soon he got to be 21 feet long. And he went out there, and he threw him a steak, and the alligator's like, that's not enough. Another steak, that's nothing. I want you! And he came down on him, and he chomped down on him, and the guy was eaten by his own alligator. You know, you feed that pet sin, and you say, I can compromise with it. I can play. Let me tell you, if you want peace, the only way to get peace is war. We're not going to have peace in our country between the left and what's going on. Right now, until there's a war. There already is a war, but it's got to be won by one side or the other. Either the baby killers win it or the other side wins it. You say baby killers, what are you talking about? Abortion. Do you know what abortion is? Abortion is not about a woman's right to choose. Abortion is the feeding of food to an entity called Baal. Baal is not just an idol. Baal is a fallen angel, one of Satan's angels. He's over the abortion industry in the United States. And some of the high-ranking people, they know that, and they're feeding that by getting women to give up their babies. It's always been the case. Idols always demand that. Baal and Moloch and so forth, these idols that were related to Baal, they require baby worship. You're killing your babies to show your love for them. When I was over in Israel, we saw that in the northern part of Israel. The tribe of Dan got into that. I'm just saying to you that he pinpoints your sin, idolatry. He gives you a clear choice, and he shows you God is greater than your idol. And so look at chapter 18, verse 38 and following through 40, and I'll read it. Here's what it says. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, what did they do? They fell down. They fell down on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And then Elijah said, "Okay, then kill those preachers of Baal." How about it in your life? You're being confronted with a clear choice, and God will show you who's greater, who's more powerful. Perhaps he's done something in your life to show you he's more powerful than whatever idol you're following. And now he says, okay, and you say, yes, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to do it. And then the Lord says, okay, if you're going to follow the Lord, get rid of your old friends. Get rid of your old habits. Get new habits and follow me. And that's what killing the prophets of Baal were. And they had to go get those prophets of Baal. And Elijah had every one of them killed. And they were confronted with a clear choice. They made that choice. Why? God is, listen, I believe now God's getting ready to bless them, don't you? Yeah, because they dealt with the idolatry now. They've killed the idols of Baal, and they're now ready to be blessed. And so that brings me to the last precursor. Your preacher predicts plenty of rain in your life. You ever heard that song? It's beginning to rain. Da, 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 da. Never heard that one, huh? Have you ever heard of that, Kathy? Yeah, she's heard of that song. It's beginning to rain. What does that mean? God's getting ready to save people in your family, perhaps. God's getting ready to bring people back from backsliding. God's getting ready to do something in the youth group. God's getting ready to do something in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. God's getting ready to do something in the Sunday school class. God's getting ready to do something in your life. Like Charles Weir used to say, God fitting to shake America, Bloom. That's what he used to say. God fitting to shake America. What he meant was is that God's getting ready to do something in America. I believe he is. That's why we have the theme, Partnering with Plenty in 2020. But the question is, are you going to be ready? I believe if you follow the pathway of, hey, the preacher's showing up with the word of God for your life and you're listening. Your preacher pinpoints the problem and you see it. The preacher confronts you with a clear choice and you make it. Your preacher then can predict for you. I said for you and your ministry, the famine is rolled away. The rain is coming. And that's exactly what happened. He sent the guy out seven times, and there was a harbinger of rain, a hand like a cloud coming up like that. What's a harbinger of rain? Some people that are praying to God for the rain. But they've had all these other things first, not just the praying. The praying without that is James chapter 4. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Ah, my friends, we have precursors for plenty in 2020, but the choice is ours. If you're here today and you know that Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, it's today that you let him come in and you accept him and what he did on that cross, that he could be your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you need to get baptized, join the church, you need to do that. If you're here today and there's something that's keeping you from the Lord being number one, you need to repent of that idol and follow Jesus. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.